wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Spirit of God, we ask that you come and administer Jesus to us. We come here to see one person and one person only. His name is Jesus. Anoint our eyes to see him. Anoint our ears to hear him. And anoint our hearts to receive him right now, Lord. And Lord Jesus, walk among us. Let your word come alive this morning. And Father, we take the blood of thy covenant and we declare your precious blood upon the time that you've given us, that your anointing will be present to accomplish all what you desire to do in and through your word. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles in your hand, lift it to heaven. I can see who brought it and who did not. Say after me, come to the house of God to celebrate his word in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Praise God. Having come to the house of God, your faith will be stronger. Your hope will be brighter. Your life will be fuller. And I was waiting upon the Lord what I should share with you this morning. And the Lord put these three words into my heart. He wants me to talk to you about the spirit of prayer and prevailing in prayer and ruling through prayer. So before I go any further, I want to show you a slide of the tabernacle. You got that for me? Now think about it. I want you to look at this and think about you're walking into the holiest of holies. As you come in, you got to pass the gate. The gate speaks of the fullness of Jesus. And then you go into the outer court and you see the altar of the brazen altar, which talks about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And then just before the holy place, you have the laver, which is made out of women's mirrors, and there's water in it where the priest washes himself. It talks about the sanctifying power of the word of God. And then you have the five pillars that makes us to go through that into the holy place, which talks about the fivefold ministry. And as you come into the holy place, there is the candlestick. Jesus is our light, John 8:12 says. And then across the candlestick is the showbread, because Jesus is the bread of life, John 6:35. But I want to bring to your attention the third furniture, because this is important, the altar of incense. In Exodus 30 and 1 to 2, it says that it was made of acacia wood. Why? And it's the tallest furniture in the tabernacle, in the holy place. Why? Because Jesus is divine. And not only that, he didn't see corruption. But his ministry today is to intercede for you and for me ever, forever. Amen. It's the highest ministry of Jesus today. He's ever interceding for you and for me. Go with me to Romans 8:34. If you have your Bibles, it says he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. Say after me, Jesus, the Son of God, is interceding for me right now. Amen. Aren't you glad he's praying for you right now? Amen. And in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost. He saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Those who come to God through him, it says, he ever lives to intercede for you and for me. So his ministry is the ministry of intercession. He lives to pray for you and pray for me, that to impart his blessings, the goodness of God, the strength of God, the anointing of God for the saints all over the world. And his ministry is sweet, beautiful, divine. It's a sweet savor in the nostril of God. And so I want you to think about that, that Jesus ever lives to intercede for you and me. Amen. It's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, let me take you a bit further. And I want to tell you a story that it really had a great impact on me. And one of the pastor friends told me this story. He said there was a little boy who lived next door to a painter. And every day he would come after school, throw his bag, and he would go and see this painter painting. He wished one day that he wants to be like this painter, a master painter. And so this went on for months and years. And one day he did the same routine, came through the bag and went in to see the painter. And he knocked at the door and the wife of the painter opened and she said, "He's no longer here, he's passed away." And the little boy was so heartbroken, sad. He went back to his house. And after a few weeks, he came back and knocked at the door and the lady opened and he said, "You know what? Can I have that canvas? Can I have that paintbrush? Can I have that paint? Because I want to paint like your husband." And so the lady was trying to say something. He would not listen. He said, "I need that canvas. I need that paintbrush. I need that paint." And so she wrapped everything and gave it to him. And so he took it and went home. And she didn't see him for a few weeks. And after a month, he comes back knocking at the door. And he returns the canvas and returns the paintbrush and returns the paint. And then he said, "Why?" She said, He said, "I can't paint like him." And so the lady said, "I was trying to tell you that it is not the canvas that you need. It is not the paintbrush you need. It is not the paint that you need. What you need is the spirit of the painter." So what we need today in the church is the spirit of prayer. And I pray that today the Lord will baptize us with the spirit of prayer. Amen. That we will wake up wee hours in the morning and we begin to intercede for our nation and for one another. And the Lord will give us visions and dreams to pray for. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Now let me take you to Romans 8:26. And my brother is going to read for me. It's a beautiful scripture. We're going to take a journey on talking about prevailing in prayer, the spirit of prayer, prevailing in prayer, praying, ruling through prayer. Yes, Romans 8:26 is a beautiful scripture. Yes.
"Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness."
Now, did you see the word help? Is that right? The Spirit also helps us. So we have a prayer partner called the Holy Spirit. Say after me, I have a divine prayer partner. His name is
Holy Spirit.
Come on, one more time. I have a divine prayer partner. His name is Holy Spirit. Now don't cry, "I don't have anybody to pray with." You have the Spirit of God to pray with. He's your divine prayer partner. Jesus sent him to you and to me so that we can pray because he helps us. Yes, brother, continue.
"For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings."
Right.
"Which cannot be uttered."
Amen. Praise God. So what Jesus is saying is, what the Word of God is saying is, when you go to your prayer closet, don't go alone. Make sure you have the Spirit of God with you. Invite him. It's the same as reading the Word. Don't read it alone, but make sure that he's right next to you. Are you with me? So I want to, if you forget me, that's fine. But I don't want you to forget this, that you have a prayer partner. Say after me, I have a prayer partner. His name is?
Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. Now, saints of God, what is prayer? Prayer is meeting God and communing with God. Now, in Exodus 25 and verse 22, there's a beautiful scripture gives us a picture. Let me put it this way to you. When you read the scripture, see the picture. Hello? Say after me, when I read the scripture, I must see the picture. One more time. All right. I'll leave that with you. All right. Yes, brother.
"For there I will meet with you. And I will speak with you from above the mercy seat."
Now, isn't that wonderful? God says, "I will meet with you and I will speak with you." Prayer is meeting God and communing with God. Once again, I want to say it again. Prayer is meeting God and communing with God. I remember when I was living in London, you know, one morning I said, the previous night I said, Lord, I'm going to meet you at 5 o'clock. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to pray. Fine. I put the alarm and it was a cold morning. And the alarm went on and then my hand supernaturally moved and hit the buzzer. And then it stopped. And after about 15 minutes, it went on. And again, my hand supernaturally moved. Right? And by the time I got up, it was 5:45. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said to me, I've been waiting from 5 o'clock. Because when you make an appointment with God, He's very serious. Are you with me? He waits for you because He longs to have communion with you. He longs to meet with you and talk to you. Because the first voice that you need to hear every day is the voice of the Master. Because that sets everything right. Hello? Are you with me? Don't forget to do anything. You may forget to do other things, but don't forget to meet the Lord first thing first. Amen. Praise God. Can I take you a bit further now? Now, when we come to the Lord, we must have a desire to pray. Because it's very important that we should have a desire to pray. So if you don't have a desire to pray, God's going to give you one today. And so when we come to God, we must ask God to quicken us. The psalmist says in Psalm 80 and verse 18, right, coming up. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us and we will call upon your name. So we come to God and say, God, revive me and I will call upon you. In other words, he's saying, the psalmist is saying, God, touch me and I'll touch you. Everything must begin from the Lord. Hello? And in Song of Solomon 1:4, it says, draw me and I'll run after you. Everything that's initiated by heaven has a heavenly outcome. Can I say it again? Everything that's initiated by heaven has an heavenly outcome. So we come to God and we don't say anything, but we ask God to touch us first so that we can touch him. And the Lord, we say, Lord, draw us so that we can run after you. Hello? Are you with me? See, one thing I learned in prayer is this one. That when you come to God, everything that comes out of your mind is rejected. The only words that comes out of your broken and a contrite heart is received by heaven. You don't believe me? I'll prove it to you. Go to Psalm 51 verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Because your heart has to be right. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Is that right? So let me take you through a step by step. So we come to God and we ask him to initiate everything. The Father touches us. The Father quickens us. And having done that, we are in the hands of the Holy Spirit. What do I do now? I wait. Did you hear the word wait? I wait. And he said, why should I wait? Go to Psalm 62 and verse 1. Let me show you why you should wait. Yes, my brother.
Do not trust in oppression.
62 verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation.
I wait in silence so that God give time for God to come. Because salvation comes as I wait. So one more time. When we come to God, the God quickens us. And then we are in the hands of the Holy Spirit and we wait. Agreed? And you see, one of the things is we wait is because we want God to take heed to our heart. God to deal with our heart. And one of the things I learned that really deals with my heart is the Word of God. Because I stay in the Word. When you meditate upon the Word, this is the best way to wait upon the Lord is by reading the Word. Because why? The Psalm 119 and 105 says what? Very good. Praise God. And Jeremiah 23:29 says, it's like a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces. So what does the word do? It deals with my heart. And as I wait for God. And there's a lady by the name of Madam Guyong. Anybody knows her?
Yes.
Right? And she writes, she was in the prison. And the Lord Jesus would come into the prison and teach her how to pray the word. And you can pray the word, you know. Hello? Praise God. So when you go into the prayer closet, make sure the Spirit of God is there and also the Word of God is with you. Amen. And so the way we wait on the Lord is by focusing on the Word, because it stills your heart and it stills your mind. The Word of God. And now, you see, one of the things that I learned is when we go into the presence of God, and if our heart is not right, God can't show up. So I need to wait for my heart to be prepared. And so, because one of the things we have learned is gimme Jimmy prayers. Everything is quick in, instant noodles, ting, and the Lord needs to turn up, and we have to, everything is received quick. God doesn't work that way. The waiting process is very important. We wait on God. So why? Because our hearts need to be prepared. Amen. Are you all awake? Praise God. Praise God. Now, so as I wait, because how do I wait? You see, the Bible says in James 4:8, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Is that right? Yes. Praise God. So draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So I wait, I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. And suddenly as you wait, something happens. The hardened heart begins to break. And the tears roll down your cheeks. And you know, it's no longer the words are coming out of your head. Now the words are coming out of your heart. And your heart begins to pray now. And it's the tongues that comes out of you has full of power. It's not just empty words anymore. But you yourself is surprised, because it's the power of God is permeating out of you right now. Because your heart is right. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Praise God. Now, let me take you to a scripture, Ecclesiastic chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. And brother, can you read it for me? Loudly.
Walk prudently when you go to the house of God.
Now it says, walk prudently when you walk to the house of God. Now, did you come prudently today? Did you prepare your heart? Did you bring a song into the house of God? Did you bring a word to the house of God? Did you come with praise? We had a wonderful time of praise and worship. Amen. Continue.
And draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools.
So come to God to hear rather than telling him what to do. Because we have a lot of things to say to him, how to run the world. But God says, come to my presence to hear my voice. Continue.
For they do not know that they do evil.
Right. Continue.
Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth.
Right. Let me go through one more time. So first of all, we came into the presence of God and we asked God to quicken us, to touch us. And as he touched us, we waited upon the Holy Spirit. And as he waited upon the Holy Spirit, we took the Word of God and we meditated upon the Word of God, because for God to deal with our heart. And as God began to deal with our hearts through the Word of God, we began to be in touch from the spirit to spirit with God. And the God now began to pray through us. The Holy Spirit began to pray through us. The words that comes out of your heart is no longer, it's coming out of your mind, but it's coming out of your heart. You see, I learned something, that God does not answer words, he answers prayers. The voice of your heart is the voice of prayer. If your heart is not praying, you are not praying. You see, don't pray to overcome your guilt, but to pray to satisfy the heart of God. Let me put it this way to you. Prayer without a heavenly touch is a legalistic prayer made to please the flesh. So that's why it's very important to wait upon the Lord to touch us so that we can pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can I move on?
Yes.
Right. Now, saints of God, I went through the steps, and one of the things you need to do now is now you are in God's realm, in God's presence, and you begin to prevail in prayer. Let me take you to a scripture and show you how beautiful that is. Go to Romans 8 and verse 16. 15, let's say, yes.
Spirit of bond, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba,
Abba
Father.
Who is crying? Who is crying? Go to Galatians 5 and verse 4. Okay, 5, 4 and 6, yeah. Yeah, right, 5, 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Now, Romans 8, 6, 15, we cry. But Galatians 4, 6, he cries. We cry, he cries. He cries, we cry. There's a harmony between the divine and the human. See, we prepared our hearts. We came into the presence of God, and God moved us. The Holy Spirit dealt with our hearts, and now we are in touch with heaven. And the words that's coming out of our heart is from heaven. And now there's a harmony between the human and the divine. We cry, he cries. He cries, we cry. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Praise God. Now you begin to prevail in prayer. Now think about this. Think about this. Jesus is interceding for you and me in heaven. Agreed?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And when he is praying, the object of his prayer is you. He's praying for you. Don't say, nobody's praying for me. Jesus is praying for you. And one day the Lord said to me, son, I spoke yesterday. I said, son, the Lord said to me, son, do you know that I'm the great high priest? I said, yes, Lord. Do you know I'm the intercessor? Yes, Lord. Do you know I'm the Messiah? Yes, Lord. Do you know I'm the advocate? Yes, Lord. Do you know I'm the mediator? Yes, Lord. Do you know that I'm the Passover lamb? Yes, Lord. And the Lord said, you see, in order for me to activate all those offices, you need to open your mouth and declare who I am. And so when we come to God and when we say, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, I worship you. You are my great high priest. He becomes my high priest. And when I say he's my great intercessor, great mediator, great advocate, great jubilee, the Messiah, the keeping God who will keep us in divine health, divine provision, divine protection, and say he's our Passover lamb, everything you declare, he becomes for you. Upon your confession, he becomes your high priest. That's what Hebrews 3:1 says. So if you don't confess him, even though you know in your heart that he's your intercessor, nothing is going to happen. But you need to declare that he is our intercessor. Can we pray for that right now?
Yes.
Let's lift our hands. Say after me, Lord Jesus, you're my great high priest. You're my great intercessor. You're my great mediator. You're my advocate. You're my jubilee. You're my Messiah. The keeping God who will keep me in divine health, divine provision, divine protection. You're my Passover lamb in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, one more time. You see, I want to make sure it's a short message, but I want to make sure you don't forget the order. You come to prayer, you must have a desire to pray. Agreed?
Yes.
Right? And when you come before God, make sure you have two ingredients. The Holy Spirit with you. Enter the prayer closet with the Holy Spirit. And with what? The Word of God. You cannot leave this away from the prayer closet. And then when you come in there, ask God to touch you first. Quicken me, Lord, I'll call upon you. Draw me and I'll run after you. Because when the heaven touches you, something is going to happen. Hello? It's not your flesh working anymore. It's the Spirit of God that's working. So wait. Wait patiently. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. And you're in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And you begin to open the Word and begin to speak the Word of God. Begin to pray the Word. The Word is like a rock, the hammer that breaks the rock. And all the hard places in your heart will be broken. And now it's pliable in the hand of God. You're like a child before God. Hello? Now God can deal with you. God can speak to you. God can speak to me. And so now we don't have many things to say before God unless God says speak. I remember one day I was in prayer and the Lord said, I waited for some time. Let me give you two incidents. One when I used to go into a hotel room and I used to pray for hours. So one day I went to the hotel room and the previous night, and then the early morning I got up in the hotel room and I began to pray. So I started at 7 o'clock, and I'm praying till about 10 o'clock. I'm shouting, I'm screaming. Every Pentecostal prayer that I knew, I was praying. Every prayer, and I was saying, I said, finally at 10 o'clock, I said, Lord, where are you? And the Lord said, I want you to shut up. Because I was trying to talk to you, but you're talking over me. So sometimes it is important to wait for God for him to talk to you. You see, the voice of God will make a difference. Because that's the only voice you need to hear. When you go to a courtroom, you don't speak until the judge says, stand up and speak. Is that right? He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And so wait for God to say, now, my son, my daughter, ask. And I'll give it to you. That moment is a wonderful moment when God says, you ask and I'll give it to you. So stay in the prayer closet. And as your heart is ready, the Lord will show up. And now you are in union with God. And in that union, you're prevailing in prayer. You are crying Abba Father. The Holy Spirit is crying Abba Father. The Holy Spirit is crying Abba Father. You're crying Abba Father. There is a divine, what shall I say, union and communion and intercession between you and God. Amen. Amen. Now, let me take you a bit further. How many wants to ask God to baptize you with the spirit of prayer today? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Now, having interceded with God, having had that union and the communion with God, now you begin to rule in prayer. Go with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Can you take 5 more minutes?
Yes.
Acts chapter 12. And let's look at 5 and 6. Yes, brother. Now you must understand that Peter was imprisoned. He was between two prisoners, with all chains, bound by all chains. Yes.
Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
Yeah.
And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping him in the prison.
Right. And continue. Can you give me the next verse, brother? Coming up.
And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands.
Amen. The church was praying without wavering, without ceasing. And the prayer brought angel on the scene. And Peter was set free. There's power in prayer. Amen. Amen. And so the story doesn't end there. Look at verse 23 and 24 in the same chapter.
Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last.
Herod. So here, Herod was on the throne. The church was praying. And even though Herod was on the throne, church was ruling by prayer. So from beginning, you ask for the spirit of prayer to come upon you. And then it's a prevailing in prayer. And then it takes you to the next dimension, ruling through prayer. Amen. Now, before I pray, let me say this to you. Prayer is not trying to put our will in heaven, but rather bringing heaven's will on earth. And prayer is not trying to overcome the reluctance of God, no, to take hold of his highest willingness. Anybody heard of John Knox? Yes. And he prays, and he says this, because when he was living, Queen Victoria was ruling, and they came and asked him, you know, aren't you fearful of the queen? And he said, I spent 4 hours with the king. Why should I be fearful of my queen? When you spend time with the king, nothing frightens you. Amen.